with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of stuff. Is Brent Venables a hypocrite? For his recruiting stance, but then also recruiting players that are committed to other schools. Is that hypocritical or not? We'll talk about it as the Sooners stay scorching hot on the recruiting trail. It's unknown exactly who, but the amount of commits this weekend are going to push OU well into the top five and possibly even into the top spot, at least as of right now. It's decision day for Deshaun Watson. And the decision isn't being met.
You want to talk about hypocrites?
Very roundly. As the arbitrating judge, comes down with a 6-game suspension now. We'll see if that's really going to be the punishment or if Roger Goodell and the NFL will step in and increase that. What, if anything, will happen to the two organizations that were involved in this, the Houston Texans and the Cleveland Browns? So we'll break down all of that. Bill Russell passed away, the greatest winner in an American team sports history. Talk about him, and then we'll see what we did over the weekend. And a cool thing coming up on Friday that you can go out, get involved with. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Hopefully no one gets hurt, but I'll tell you exactly what that is right here off the top of the show. 225-9698 is our phone or our text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text, talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the app. Paragon app has it all. It's got radio stations, three of them right here in the Elk City area. It's got the Penny News. Go out and pick up a free copy of the Penny News or check it out online at thepennynews.com. We also got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV live streaming, of high school sports coming up. Gosh, what are we now? Inside of 4 weeks, as we tick to August 1st, 26 days until we see Big Elk football on the field for the first time this year. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check that out there at KADSAM.com or on iTunes. Good morning, Jared.
I'm here, which means I did not win the lottery.
You did not. Somebody from Illinois did.
I got talked into all that lottery talk. My wife said, go get tickets. She gave me some money and said, get as many as you can.
Oh, so you went multiple.
Yes.
I spent my $3 and lost.
I don't know what was more disappointing, not having anywhere near the right numbers or waking up the next morning and hearing somebody had won it.
I was, the sound was off yesterday afternoon. Did someone from Elgin win $1 million?
I hadn't heard.
I just saw the, you know how on the news, the graphics?
Yeah.
And it showed the map and it showed Elgin and it said Mega Millions winner. And I assumed for that it must have been all five numbers right, but not and not the Powerball. How, or the multiplier or whatever. I mean, here's a question. Sure, it would have been cool to win that million. But how disappointing would it be as you're we watched it live. Like, we found it on YouTube.
Oh, you
did?
The
live drawing.
Okay.
And so we watched it live Friday night. And how disappointing would it have been as the first five numbers come out, you've got them all, and then that multiplier is just negative. Negative.
I mean, nice consolation prize, I guess, but a million compared to
1.28 billion,
yeah, that's a drop in the bucket, but yeah, that'd be
I mean, it's a cool.
I don't know how I'd re- it'd be a mixed bag of emotions because you're happy you won $1 million, but then the what ifs of, oh man, so close.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no one's going to sneeze at $1 million.
No, no one's feeling sorry for them that they didn't get that one number.
But you were one number away from generational wealth many, many times over.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's congratulations to the schlep in Illinois or not, but whatever. Somebody won. What else you do?
I mean, Saturday was beautiful.
No kidding.
I mean, I woke up and I enjoyed my coffee underneath the porch with the light rainfall kind of coming down. That was really, really nice. And so until it got too humid, because it got humid there late in the afternoon or mid-afternoon, but I stayed outside a lot. Most of that good. Yesterday got a little warmer than Saturday, but still not horrible. So went and saw a movie yesterday with the kids and a couple of their friends. Did some swimming. Just nothing really planned. How about you?
I played golf both days.
How'd it go?
My putter was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. So the first day, I played, for me, not playing much golf at the moment, I played fantastic. I shot one under par, and I missed four putts with inside of 3 feet. I mean, I turned a 67 or 66 into a 70. Just because I couldn't make tap ins. Listen, I'm talking about, like, no kidding aside, three of them for sure, that, like, if you're playing with your buddies, they're gimmies. They'll just slap it back to you. Oh, yeah, that's close enough.
Right.
I missed three of those, and one that was about a 3-footer. You know, I'm in the middle of the green on 18, which is par 5 here, 2 under par, and I 4-putt. I don't 3-putt. Much less four, and I four putted twice. Four putted yesterday too, because I couldn't make little bitty short putts. I was never going to win. Trace played way too well. Trace Hill was the winner. He shot 64, 66. That was out of range for me. But second place was not. Joby Gray was 68, 68. I think was second at 136. That was attainable for sure. If just a normal putting weekend, but it wasn't near good enough. And that's, you know, to be honest with you, not playing a lot going in, that was my concern, was chipping and putting. And I didn't have to hit very many chips because I hit the ball pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did have to chip, they were pretty decent. Nothing just ridiculously bad, aside from maybe number 11 yesterday where I just didn't hit it hard enough. But anyway, that was kind of a scary thing, and I did fine there. But, man, when you can't get it in the hole – you know, it's just a horrible feeling because you can't hit it. You almost can't hit it close enough to feel comfortable that you're going to make it the way I was putting. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
But congratulations to Trace. I think, let's see off the top of my head if I can remember who else won. Jack Christian was the winner. I need to pull this up on Facebook. I know he won a flight. Bob Miller won a flight. Lynn Bailey, our man Lynn Bailey, was a winner. And there might have been one more. Let's see. I'll pull that up. Yeah, it looks like Trace, Jack, Bob, and Lynn. Nope, just those four. Those four were all the winners of the flights, the club championship. So it was fun. Now we get to look forward to next Saturday and trying to hoist the coolest trophy I've ever seen in golf. The Quail Forever Trophy. We won it last year, and it was a really cool trophy that Jimmy found or had made, and so hopefully that'll happen again this weekend.
I built a driving range in my backyard.
You did?
I need to show you a video of this. It's basically a sheet. I was bored because it was nice, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be out here. So I was working. You talk about chipping. I was working on chipping from one end of my lawn to the other, which I do often when it's nice enough. And then I thought, man, I really want to bust out the driver, but I don't feel like hitting out into a wheat field and trying to find my ball. So I had this backstop that's already made for my kids for softball, for them to pitch into and hit into. But, of course, the netting's too big for balls. Found that out the hard way. So I, buddy said, lay a sheet behind it, an old sheet that you got. So I did that, hung it up. I was working on my drive. Now, really, no, I just, it felt like I was striking it good, but was it going where I wanted it go?
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to get back into the rhythm of a driving. So it was kind of cool. It's kind of fun. And then then the balls were all right there.
So I'd be afraid it would hit like the corners.
I had some close
shoot
calls.
Back.
I had some close calls. I'll tell you that.
It's because normally those are stretched pretty tight.
Yeah.
The actual backstop stuff.
I let the sheet have a little bit of loose to it.
That's
so
a good
it
idea.
It hits and it goes straight down.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, it doesn't have like a recoil to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some missed strikes and it went a little bit to the left. And I'm left-handed for those who don't know. So that's away from me. And, I had some close calls. I'll just put
just shooting it back
way.
At you.
Well, not necessarily that. I was afraid if I had timed this out wrong and there was a car there, you know.
If you missed the net.
Yeah. Yeah. The net itself, it doesn't do anything for these golf balls. It goes straight through it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a king-size sheet that I had. And it's perfect for the width of it all. But if I don't hit it square in the middle, then I'm in trouble.
Right.
Anyways, probably people thinking, what is this guy doing? And it sounded pretty cool, too. It has this little echo.
Yeah.
I'll show you a video I got. But so, that's I worked on, I guess you can call it work on my golf game a little bit this weekend.
I've got an idea for you guys.
What do you got?
For your softball. It's happening this Friday. So Friday, August 5th, 6:30, here in Elk City. It's going to be the second annual Players versus Parents Fast Pitch Softball Fundraiser.
Oh, really?
Players versus parents.
Well, how does that work? We got to try to strike our kids out.
But yeah, they play a game against each other. And by about Thursday, the amount of icy hot that's going to be started to be applied to some of these parents will be palpable within town. Obviously hoping for nobody to get injured, especially the old dudes. But it's going to be at 6:30 on Friday. Come on out. TJ's Tacos is going to be there serving all their food. Billy and Jennifer Smith at Smith Title sponsor that. But 6:30 on Friday right here at the Fiveplex. Players versus Parents Fast Pitch Softball Fundraiser. See, now I got to wonder.
That's worth the price of admission just to watch.
Absolutely. Now, is this a fast pitch softball game, or are we going to be playing beer league softball?
I don't know. I think our kids, their 10U team would be too young for this. Or the dads would not be up to par. One of our dads, he had a toenail removed because one of his kids hit one right up the middle and hit his toe. He might say, not for me on that deal, but that's a good idea. What's the fundraiser for, did you say?
It's fast pitch softball.
For
hit off the machine, 50 miles an hour. Here it is.
Okay.
So everybody hits off a 50-mile-an-hour machine.
Still might be a little fast for the 10U girls.
Well, you can turn it down however you want to. High school and junior high fundraiser.
Well, good idea. I love it.
Second annual. Who won the first one? I believe the players did, if I remember right. Remember this happening last year. Pulled hammies, rolled ankles. Hopefully none of that happens. But that'll be fun. for the weekend, I was still up for debate who won. I love it. Let's see. Over the weekend, or yesterday, I guess, Bill Russell, the preeminent winner in North American team sports, 11 championships with the Boston Celtics. I think he won two or three at San Francisco before he got there in the NCAA tournament. This is an interesting stat. Bob Ryan, a longtime writer for the Boston Globe. You've seen him on all those ESPN shows at some point. In Bill Russell's last 14 years as a basketball player, he played in 21 winner-take-all games. 9 were in the NCAA tournament. He played in 1 gold medal game in the Olympics, 10 game 7s, and 1 game 5. 21 of them. His team, 21-0. And he averaged 29 rebounds in those 21 games. You know, he's an interesting character because when you start talking about the greatest basketball players of all time, his name is never mentioned. And quite honestly, rightfully so. But I would be interested to see how he's perceived now. Because then stats were just becoming a thing. You had Wilt, who he dominated when they played head-to-head. But Wilt still is widely regarded as a better basketball player than Bill Russell. Nowadays, it feels like it's about rings, 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 right? Any argument starts with rings. Would he be more widely regarded, or highly regarded, I should say, in this era, doing what he did versus when he did it back in the 60s?
In this era, absolutely. And I think what kind of hampers down the talk of the greatest ever is the era that he played in, the competition. And I'm not trying to take away what he did, because those numbers speak for themselves. But the competition isn't like it was when Michael Jordan played right now in the LeBron era. But all that aside, I mean, what he did, it's up there with, you know, we talk about greatest of NBA. I mean, greatest athletes of all time. He, I think, should be considered one of those because of the accomplishments that he did and how he did it. It's one thing winning titles, but it's another thing with the rebound set you mentioned and how he won it. That's another thing, and that's just adds to the dominance that he was back then. And if we didn't have that, then it would not have elevated the NBA and the game itself to where it is now. You know, if you don't have those guys like that back then, you don't drive other younger generations going, I want to be like that. I want to be better than that. You know, same thing we said about Michael Jordan. You know, I'm sure that is LeBron James' drive is, I got to be better than that guy. And, you know, there were guys before Michael, and they were like, man, I got to be a Bill Russell. I got to be better than this guy. So he should be. And it's a shame that it takes a death to bring that conversation to, you know, he should hear it instead of it happening after. But he was an amazing, amazing, accomplished athlete.
Yeah, I mean, to compare, it's hard to compare. For one thing, we never saw him play because of his age. But when you can kind of see and get ideas from the people that were there, I mean, he was just a completely dominant defensive figure, you know, with the blocked shots and just and being able to stand up to Wilt the way that nobody else at that time. You want to talk about eras? I mean, those were the only two. You know what I'm saying? Those were that was the matchup. You know, down inside, and Bill Russell always seemed to win. Always seemed to. Maybe his stats didn't compare at the end of the night to what Wilt did, but he did enough to keep. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He did enough to be able for his team to come out on top. And I wonder with how really obsessed the sporting public is now with rings, with winning. You know, you can't be considered one of the greatest without rings all of a sudden, whereas, you know, 20 years ago, people would argue Dan Marino might be the best quarterback in the history of the NFL, and he played in one Super Bowl and lost.
Right.
Because of what he was, as opposed to what his team ended up doing. That era is over. That era of conversation is, you know, Brady has ruined it, but, you know, that because he's got both. But you know, you're not going to hear anybody arguing for anything like that anymore because of how obsessed the conversations turns to winning rings. And so, I wonder about Bill Russell in that regard. If he would be, and I think you're probably right. I think he would be a little bit more highly regarded. Not at the top. I don't know if even his rings were ever going to get him to the top because of, you know, he just wasn't as well-rounded a player. You know, if you want to think he's the best defender ever, he's probably right. You know, but I don't know that it'll ever get him clear to the top in most people's minds. But I think he would be, you know, a lot of times you don't even see in the top 10, and that seems crazy for a guy with those with the accomplishments that his teams, and he was a huge part of. Let's not get it twisted. I mean, he's a huge part of why those teams won those games.
Yeah,
but I just thought it was interesting that, you know, when you look back at some of those crazy numbers of winning and being a huge part of winning, that Bill Russell is kind of where he's at, in kind of the pantheon of the greatest players of all time. So he's gone at the age of 88. Sound like he died peacefully. and then also, you know, we lost a listener yesterday.
We did.
Yes, we did. Janice Smithy. She was, she really kind of, you know, back when we did the Mount Rushmores?
Yeah.
Talking with her son, John, she loved that. And she wanted to participate in that. Matter of fact, I know that she texted us in when we were talking about the Elk City ones.
Oh.
And so she passed away yesterday. Mm. And yeah, she listened all the time to us. So her son does too. He's one of our. He's the only one that refuses to use the text line. He refuses to use it. He just texts me only. But we're praying for him. Obviously, John, David, Bill, Chad, all of them.
Yeah.
Sad deal. But she's probably listening up in the sky right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And she came up with a great idea back when we needed it more than ever during COVID. Coming up with those Mount Rushmores for all the schools around here.
That was a hit.
It was a hit.
Yeah.
By the way, all you Dallas Cowboy haters, take this. The NFL valuations of the franchises.
Oh, right.
Dallas Cowboys number one, $7.64 billion. And oh, by the way, number one of all of sports. May not win Super Bowls, but by golly, we're worth the most.
They sell the T-shirts.
Who do you think's number two?
In the NFL?
In the NFL.
New England?
New England's third.
Are the Rams up there? The
Rams are number two, I think, largely in part to that stadium. What do you think? So they're at $5.91 billion. So the Cowboys $1.5 billion more valuable than the Rams. What do you think the average is? So the Cowboys are $7.64 billion. What do you think the average NFL franchise is worth?
I guess around $2.5 billion.
Yeah, 4.1.
4.1 billion.
Yeah. Who do you think's the second most valuable franchise in all of sports behind Dallas?
It's going to have to be a soccer team in Europe.
No, I think the
say like Man U or something. No.
No, I think this is like here.
In North America or in America?
Yeah, I think so.
The second of all sports, Yankees.
Yankees is correct.
Baseball's dead. Come
Yankees
on.
Yankees is correct. 16 NFL franchises have been valued at least $4 billion, compared to 7 in the other U.S. sports leagues. 4 in the NBA, 3 in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I found the list.
The whole list? I've got a list, but it's just the NFL.
Well, I just found the NFL. This is what interests me. People are going to wonder who is the least valuable. The least valued, I guess is the better term. And your mind is automatically going to go to a losing franchise, I bet. Right? Not in this case.
Well, now, not last year. And probably not for the next few years.
Yeah, they're on pace to.
But, I mean, when you think of losing franchises in NFL, this is one that pops in your mind.
Which is?
The Bengals.
The Bengals.
Here's the deal. This is easily explained. Especially those bottom four. So the bottom four are Buffalo, Jacksonville, Detroit, and Cincinnati. What do those all have in common?
Small stadiums.
Really old stadiums.
Okay.
Stadiums that have been around for, it's kind of the Thunder thing.
How old's Detroit? Detroit Stadium.
Ford Field.
How old is that?
Oh, it's got to be 25 years old. It doesn't, I know what you mean. It doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't look like it. It doesn't seem like it. That goes up back to us being old, I guess. Where we think, it's not that. It's like buying, it's like a car.
2002, 20 years old.
20 years old.
Mm-hmm. And see, it was only, but think about this. This is going to sound crazy. 2002, it's 65,000 seats, so it's not, that's about the norm, 65 to 70 some. How much do you think it was built for?
I couldn't tell you. What do you think?
$500 million. That's why, I mean, all these at the bottom and are losing at least $1 billion worth because of when they built their stadiums. You know what I'm saying? And then how that would be, because what that is, isn't like, look at SoFi. Let's see what SoFi was built for.
Ooh.
What are you going to guess?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Including development. So meaning, probably purchase of land and all that
sure.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
$5 to $6 billion.
I almost said four. Okay.
So
I believe it.
That's part of some of that. I mean, listen, they're also not as popular as some of the ones at the top, but some of that worth is tied into what your stadium. Like, look at Kansas City. There's no way that Kansas City is the 20th most popular team in the league.
Right.
But that's where they are in worth because Arrowhead's been there forever.
It has.
Pittsburgh is nowhere near the 13th most popular team in the league. But that's where they are in this, at 4.26. Now, Heinz Field's probably, wouldn't we say it's a little bit newer than what Ford Field was? Or is it going to be kind of in the same realm?
I feel like that's been there a while, too.
Let's see. It's called something else now. Yeah, 2001. So that's the Steeler brand versus the Chief brand or the, Bengals brand or whatever.
Right.
The Lions. But yeah, that does take that. We may not win playoff games, but we win the race to the money.
If that only hung banners.
Every year. Take out the Super Bowl trophies, put up the banners for being worth the most money, please. Oh, there you go. Dakota got at least Bengals. Exactly correct. Staying in the state of Ohio. So the long-awaited fate of Deshaun Watson was announced this morning, and the judge, Sue Robinson, found him in violation of the NFL's player conduct policy, which warrants a 6-game suspension. As of now, no fine is associated with that 6-game suspension. So it'll cost him $333,000 of his $1 million base salary this year. And I know if you're out there going, wait a minute, didn't he sign for $230 million guaranteed? The answer is yes, but they worked the contract to where in this first year where everybody knew he was going to be suspended some way, some fashion, it's only $1 million. What's your reaction?
First reaction is too low of a suspension. It's a slap on the wrist, more or less. You look at other, and this was brought to light, I saw, and that, your first reaction is go to social media and see what everyone says, and some pretty reputable source, your people, saying, when you compare it to other suspensions that have happened in recent history of the league, this is nothing. You got a guy suspended for a full year for gambling, and this is a much egregious accusation on Deshaun Watson. And he gets 6 games? It's too low. I thought at the very minimum he should get the full year. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the wording is the important thing here, in that she found him in violation of the player conduct policy, which that's the one thing that has kind of a track record or a history with these, with the amount of games suspended. Like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, that's one being brought up a ton right now, which, you know, similar, except for the fact that one had a couple of accusations, one of which was found completely false, and the other has paid, excuse me, has paid off 29 of the 30 women who accused him of sexual assault. And listen, I'm not him. I don't have the money that he has, and all. And but I would assume you don't just go around paying off women out of the goodness of your own heart. Now, in for full disclosure, he was found. He was, two different grand juries were convened, and neither found enough evidence to be able to charge him criminally. But the difference in the standard of criminality in a criminal case versus a civil case is not even nearly the same. One is you have to be found guilty beyond any reasonable doubt. The other is, like, if you believe he did it more than he didn't, you can award him money type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too low. I personally don't think it's going to stand either. It's Roger Goodell has the ultimate hammer here. And I think at some point here, pretty quickly, probably 10. I think it gets to 10. I don't think it's going to be the whole year. It came out this morning. I think I heard the guys before us talking about a tweet. I couldn't run it down. Dan Graziano. I mean, we've always heard, everybody's heard of him as far as the NFL reporter. He reported that negotiations had been ongoing before this between Watson and the NFLPA and the league. Watson and the NFLPA were willing somewhere between 6 and 8. The NFL was only willing to come down to 12. So after you see this result from the arbitrator, maybe the NFL comes down to 10. They'll go up. But, I mean, here's a question. How guilty does the NFLPA think Deshaun Watson is? To go ahead, I mean, because their whole job is to fight for him not to get suspended. How guilty do they think he is to go, well, you know what, we'll take 6 or 8 versus what it could be? You know what I'm saying? I mean, how bad do they think this is going to look when it's only, you know, 6 or 8 games? It's crazy. Do you think, I mean, the number of these has to matter, right? So if
the number of accusations,
yes,
or the number of, yeah, absolutely.
Number of accusations. So if Ben gets six games for one accusation, do we need to? Should it be 180 for 30? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not gonna be, but that's the crazy part. And you mentioned Calvin Ridley, who was betting on his team to win in a game he wasn't even playing. He was out for the year. And he got a whole year. Here's one. It's not the same sport, but it is the same circumstances, except for it's 1 versus 30. Trevor Bauer has one non-criminal sexual assault allegation against him. He's been suspended 324 games by Major League Baseball. And it's going to cost him $60 million. Deshaun Watson has 30 non-criminal sexual assault allegations against him. It's going to cost him, at least right now, 6 games and $333,000.
I'm with you. Trevor Bauer, do you think he could sue? Because isn't that still up in the courts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this maybe sets a precedent, but here's the deal. This precedent was already out there if that's the way it's going to go.
That's true.
I think it probably has more to do with the collective bargaining agreement that you're under between Major League Baseball and the Players Association and then in the NFL and the NFLPA. Do you think that Goodell's going to make it go higher?
I think he will be pressured to. So, yeah, I think it will go higher. But I think at the end of the day, or in this case, end of the season, we'll see Deshaun Watson in a Browns uniform playing. And I don't think we should.
What about the teams? I mean, it's been reported that the Texans, well, first off, they were sued. And they've settled all 30 of these, the organization itself. How do you punish them? Because it's clear that they had knowledge of this, possibly even aided and abetted it by setting up different hotel rooms and things. How do you punish them?
Well, the first knee-jerk reaction is fines and draft picks. Take away draft picks. Fine them.
Yeah, I think a fine is guaranteed. Guaranteed.
And draft picks are usually the next route.
Right.
When it comes to punishing franchises.
I think that's the part that you see. How much did they know? If they knew a lot, then I think you're right. I think draft picks could, if they just kind of set these, didn't really, you know, thought that they were setting up a massage, they still kind of, whether or not they knew what was happening or not, they still helped cultivate that, you know.
Well, somebody was turning a blind eye. So maybe not just one person, but somebody. It all seems very fishy. I mean, don't organizations like this have hired masseuse in the training facility?
Yeah, that's the thing is.
I mean, if Watts go, hey, I need you guys to set something up, like, nah, you can just go downstairs. Go see Brenda. This is why we hired her.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to set you up in a hotel room with some girl you're flying in or whatever you're doing without us being in the room. You can go downstairs. Or they just were like, okay. And they all kind of look at each other like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. What the answer to that question right there, I think, decides if they're just going to get a giant fine or there's going to be draft picks taken away in the process. What about the Browns?
They're not as – I mean, I know it looks bad for them to go and get this guy. And, again, say what they said about Baker not being an adult and you go get this guy who's accused of all this. But they could easily say – I mean, are you asking should they have done more of their homework before bringing him on?
Or any.
Right.
I mean, to me, the Browns look worse than any – than not him. But of the two franchises, who's to say Houston did know? We don't know if they knew, right? The Browns knew. This was all going on before they signed him or traded for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then gave him $230 million guaranteed. And then, not only that, structured it in a way where he would get almost all of it. He's lost $333,000 of $230 million. It's nothing. It's not even a percent.
Right.
So he keeps all $45 million of the signing bonus. He's going to be able to keep all $46 million of the salary in 2022. Of the $46 million, including signing bonus in 2022, he's going to keep $45.65 million of it. All $184 million remaining that's fully guaranteed, he gets. And he got a 6-game suspension. That's it. And this is courtesy of Warren Sharp on Twitter, Sharp Football. He's a verified guy. You know what else? And this might lead you to believe that the NFL and Roger Goodell won't do anything more because, according to the strength of schedule from last year, You know who has the easiest schedule in the first 6 weeks?
Dare I say the Browns?
The Cleveland Browns. Now, do you think it's possible that everybody from the judge to Goodell, do they know more than we do? Meaning, yes, that number is massive. But that number, do they know more about it than we do? Meaning, they don't believe it. And it sure, it looks bad to pay off 29 of 30 accusers, but it's better to do that for him than be silent and you don't hear their made up stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that possible? Is that why this is this small? It's hard to believe. They all tell the same story. They all have the same experience. I'm just playing devil's advocate to try to make sense of a sentence or a suspension that looks so out of the ordinary lenient. Tom Brady got 3 games for deflating some footballs.
Right. And I'm sure part of the agreement of settling is you don't talk about it anymore.
Correct.
So we'll never know, but I see what you're saying. Where they've heard both sides of the story and go, you know, it's not as a big deal as everyone's making it out to be in today's culture, which is easily done.
This is quotes from Sue Robinson, the judge. Says Deshaun Watson's quote unquote pattern of behavior was egregious, end quote. But notes that behavior was quote nonviolent sexual conduct, end quote.
Nonviolent.
To me, that tells you he didn't force anybody to do anything.
Sure.
It's what that tells you. And so the egregious behavior was the amount of times it happened. And then I would assume also, when just thinking about the way this goes, his position of power, meaning he's an NFL quarterback, might have played into the decisions of the ladies that were in the room. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's kind of another list of suspensions. Calvin Ridley, we mentioned, 17 games for betting. Vontaze Burfict got 12 games for targeting. Now, that was after multiple times where he was just knocking people out. DeAndre Hopkins, 6 games for PEDs. Martavius Bryant is indefinitely suspended because of smoking weed. Josh Gordon couldn't stay employed, 25-plus for smoking weed. And Darren Waller got 16 for substance abuse. And then Watson, 6 for 20. This has 25 sexual assault accusations.
Yeah, it's...
It doesn't add up, right?
No, none of it adds up. I guess what I'm doing, I'm waiting for, we think there's more coming. We think it'll get inflated.
What would you be okay with?
What, like between this and a full season, what would I tolerate?
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, how many would it have to get before you went, okay, that's at least a punishment?
I'm efforting something here. 17.
So a whole season, or it's not enough.
A regular season.
Yeah. Do you buy into
which wouldn't that be a kick in the teeth if that's what he got, and then somehow the Browns made the playoffs and he comes back for the first round of the playoffs? But I just don't think he should be playing at all this season, at the very least.
On the text line, it's pretty obvious the NFL doesn't care about punishing guys for anything. They need to hammer someone to get the attention of the players, but they won't. This is a perfect situation to do so. Make a freaking example out of an icon that little kids and everyone looks up to. This might help some of the BS that we deal with every day nowadays. Take a stand and show it's not okay to do this, and get away with it. See, that's the thing. I could not agree with that more. Because how empowered is he now?
Yeah. And how empowered are others? I mean, again, this is like a precedent, and then someone goes out and does something similar. Hopefully not, but, you know, something similar in acts. Like, okay, don't threaten her. Don't make it violent. I can do this, and I can get away with it. And if I get more games, I'll say, you gave Deshaun Watson 6.
See, that's the precedent that's being set it's hard to go back on.
Right.
You know, that's what all this is coming from. You know, with Ben, there was one other that was kind of the same thing. And it's all 6 games because it's all the player conduct policy. This is a different thing than that. And I agree with the whole year would be great. What I think has to happen is at least, you know, 10 games or 12 games. That serves two functions. First off, it makes it more than 6. And second, it ruins Cleveland's season. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That throws away their year. And they have to be punished somehow. But it's hard to punish them in the normal ways because they didn't employ him at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They didn't employ him. But they chose to employ him after some of this had come out. And so hammering him helps in turn hammer them for doing what they did by trading for him, and the slimiest thing of all, the way they structured that contract, knowing what they knew about this year. They gave him $45 million, just had $1 million of it base salary to protect him as much as he could possibly be protected. And that is sickening. Sickening. I'm with you. It needs to be a year. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be. And
no, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be either.
You think it's going to stay 6 and no money? See, that's another thing. How the hell is he not fined? I mean, all he's given up is money because he's not playing those games.
Right.
How is he not getting a fine?
Totally agree.
It doesn't add up. That's why it doesn't add. It just doesn't add up. There's something we don't know. Or, like the text message says here on the text line, they just don't care. They just don't care. Do you think they're worried?
So, NFL, stop preaching to me about social justice, and in this case, women's rights.
That's exactly
when
right.
When you're showing me you don't care.
Don't care. If you cared, Kareem Hunt would never have played again. We all saw that video of him throwing that woman around and kicking her in the face. We all saw it. It was ridiculous. He got 8 games. Half a season. That's it. And at some point, the text message is saying, if you're not going to make example out of them, then you're teaching them that. Then you're teaching not only the players now, but kids younger that this is okay and it's tolerable behavior. And that's egregious.
Absolutely.
We'll see what Goodell does.
Do we have any faith in Goodell?
You know, it's weird. Sometimes he brings the hammer, and other times it's just like, is this the same guy?
Yeah.
No. The answer is no. We have no faith in Goodell. Is there any other profession? And when I say profession, I'm going to call it athletes, not just football players. Is there any other profession, though, where this could be the allegations against you? And not only do you still have your job, but you're not going to jail.
Any other pro athlete?
Any other profession? No. Athletes, all athletes are in one thing. So we've seen athletes of all sports get away with stuff that nobody else would.
Right.
Are they, what I'm saying is, are they the most protected class of people in our society?
Easily.
I would say there's three.
Okay.
Three different classes like this. Athletes are clearly one of them. I would say politicians are another. And I would say your entertainment.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Folks such as that. Because listen to me, brother. If this was either one of us, we are in McAllister.
Yes.
Hanging out with the Buffaloes. Except for not being able to hang out with the Buffaloes because we would be behind bars. And not only is he not behind bars, he gets $229.65 million of his $230 million contract for being a complete slimeball. It's crazy. Just crazy. Come on, Goodell. Surely.
Well, based on the reaction, I feel like the pressure is there for Goodell to change this.
Do you think... Listen, it gets brought up anytime it's something else, so I'm going to ask the question. Do you think his race had anything to do with the leniency? And the NFL... being scared to death of the you mentioned social justice, of the social justice warriors that they're in bed with now, turning on him, turning on them, because they did this to an African-American quarterback, if they were to suspend him, say, the whole year. Is that in the thought process?
But, I mean, you will go there. I mean, your mind goes there. Like, what if this was just, I mean, what if it was, I don't know, what if it was Baker? What if it was, a white quarterback? I'll say it. You know, what would it be different? Your mind immediately goes there to think that.
I know one thing. If that was the case, and that you started looking at Twitter, it would be a completely different reaction from the woke media than it is right now. Right now, you're seeing some, even some that don't agree, and you can tell they don't agree, but all they're doing is kind of putting out the other suspensions for the other players for the other reasons, right? Mm-hmm. There's nobody, I haven't seen anybody that's just gone off about how this is wrong. And it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think Goodell's feeling the pressure from? See, normally it would be those type of people. You know, it would be all those woke journalists descending upon him, but it's not happening. It's not happening at all. I still haven't seen anybody. I haven't seen anybody outside of Clay Travis who, you know, have just said it's 1,000,000% ridiculous, and then start citing. But see, here's the difference. What he did, he said the suspension is ridiculous, and then cited what the others were.
Yeah.
The Libbies in the media, they don't have much to say about this one. They're just kind of saying, well, here are some of the other suspensions. Not taking up for it, not blasting it. Just here it is. It's an interesting dynamic. It really is. And you know what? Nobody does care anymore. Nobody cares. Did you see the trans cheerleader that got booted from camp for choking a female? teammate?
No.
You didn't see that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ranger College in Texas.
Wow.
You know why? You know why he choked her?
Why?
A girl on the team was being very disrespectful and told me I am a man with a pee-pee.
Which?
And should not be on the team. Which is true. It's true.
Wow.
Goodness. Where are we going, man?
I don't know.
Where are we headed?
Oh, boy. Well, we got a lot left over for tomorrow.
Yeah, there's plenty of this, for sure.
And we talk about OU recruiting. That could all change tomorrow, too. Looks like at least one, maybe more, will commit today.
Yeah, how about Colton Vasek? You know what he is?
He's straight out of Austin, isn't
Austin.
He?
Austin Westlake High School. And you know what else? His dad played at Texas.
Wow.
I'll get the Venable stuff queued up because there was a lot. Once people started realizing over the weekend what's happening with OU's recruiting,
yeah,
the H word started being used against Brent for being a hypocrite with his stance. And I'll cue up exactly what he said. I'll find that audio. And then we'll talk about it. Decide whether or not he is or not. Everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Good and Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball!